Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
He was asking about what I mentioned in the Aarti today about the story. Yes, of course. The presence of Ganga is extraordinary. Words are never enough to encompass or explain or describe the power of that presence. The teaching, though, about Ganga is Ganga has to do with the power of Ganga, because look, if Ganga is that which connects us to the divine, if Ganga is that which gives us moksha, freedom from the games of the mind, freedom from past karma, freedom from ignorance, freedom from ego. Well, that power of the divine is there everywhere, right? There's no reason that sitting in your living room, you can't experience samadhi, enlightenment, moksha, because it's all within you. There's no reason that sitting on a street corner of New York City, you can't have a spontaneous enlightenment. There's so many stories of mystics and sages and saints and prophets and yogis of so many different traditions who experience this divine truth in so many different places, situations, moments, experiences. So what is it about Ganga? Well, Ganga is the mother goddess. Ganga's the mother goddess in form. Ganga is that presence that just by bathing in her waters, having her darshan, has that power to give us the freedom. That's why Ganga's here. Ganga's not here just to give us pine ka pani. Ya snan karne ke pani. Ya khet ke liye pani. Right? Ganga came to liberate the sons of King Sagar. To liberate those fallen souls of the sons of King Sagar. But she stayed. She stayed for all of us. Meaning that she is here to give us that experience of moksha, to give us that freedom, not just from past karmas, but from the workings of the mind that make us keep doing the same karma. Because otherwise, you take a bath in Ganga, chalo, past karma, done. But then you walk out of Ganga and you do it all over again. I always say Ganga is not a get out of jail free card. It's not like the game of Monopoly, right? You get the card and even you're in jail, you give it, chalo, I have a get out of jail free card. She's not that. It's not do whatever you want and then just have a bath in Ganga. I remember once we were abroad at a beautiful event. I won't give any more details about it, but we were there with many other leaders. And the people who were organizing the event had put together a beautiful dinner. And in the dinner, they had offered cookies at the end of the dinner. And the event was abroad. I come from abroad. I understand how baked goods are abroad. So many sabko kaha Hindi mein, taki jinhone bhojan khilaya wo samajh nahi lenge. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Maine Hindi mein bola ki dhyan rakho, wo cookies mein anda hogi. Wo vegetarian nahi hai, anda hai usme. To ek vyakti apne saath ne cookie utha ke khaya. और हिंदी में बोले कोई बात नहीं जाके गंगा जी में स्नान करेंगे. That is not why Ganga is here. She is not here कि आप जो भी मन है करने का आप करो फिर जाके गंगा जी में स्नान किया and सारे पाप धुल जाएंगे. No. Yeah, pap kardna nahi hai. Exactly. Ganga clears us of all of the past karma. Not just because she's compassionate and loving and like a mother who says, chalo koi baat nahi. I remember jab main choti thi, aur mera aage wale dant were gone. You know, children, they lose their front teeth before they get their new teeth in. And it only lasted maybe, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, whatever it was, before the new teeth came. But I remember in those years, I could be very naughty. Because mom used to say, you are so cute without your front teeth that I cannot yell at you. I cannot scold you. Because whatever I did, I knew that if I just went with my empty teeth there, that Ma would say, chalo, go. Once, of course, the teeth came, then you had to start behaving again. But that's not what Ganga is for. It's not, chalo, aap bahut pyari hai. Chalo, you've lost your two front teeth. Do whatever you want. You're so cute. She's here because when we bathe in Ganga, she's cleaning not just our skin, not just our body, but actually our minds, actually our vasanas, actually our ego, actually our ignorance. Taki jab hum Ganga ji se bahar aake and we start to move in our life, we are different people. And so that pop, we never do it again. Because we've been changed. That's where the moksha comes. That's where the freedom comes, where the divine connection comes. So Ganga is Ganga means, number one, this place is very sacred. Very sacred, very holy, very special. Yes, God is everywhere. And Ganga is Ganga. I always say, baki jagat mein dhyan karna padta hai. Baithke dhyan lagana hai. Samay nikal ke dhyan lagana hai. But here, kewal baithne ke liye samay nikalna hai. Dhyan apne aap ho jata hai. That meditation, it just comes here. Everywhere else in the world, it's like, okay, gotta do my meditation, gotta do the meditation. Sit down, close the eyes, do the meditation. Here, you just have to sit down. And it happens. It's an energy that's here. And it's an energy of transformation. So jab Ganga ji mein snan karenge, let her clean you on the inside. Taki, whatever you've done, the being of you who did it is no longer here. So naturally that karma is also gone because jinhone kiya, that person is also gone. You are changed, you are transformed. And that's the freedom that we get. Dekho, Ganga is not just a philosophy. She's not just an accumulation of facts. Chalo hum yahan pe baithke, we can talk about Ganga. We can share the story of Ganga. We can take the Ganga stotras. We can look at all the beautiful teachings of Ganga. But Ganga is not that accumulation of information. Ganga is ek anubhav. Ganga is an experience. You can have all the information, all the philosophy. But if you don't have the anubhav, the experience, then you've missed out. Then you're just in the same situation as if you had stayed home and read a book on Ganga, or went to Wikipedia and looked up Ganga. The point of being here is to have the experience. So 24 years ago, when I asked Pooja Swamiji, why is it? I remember still, we were standing actually in my parents' house. I'm from Los Angeles. We were back in LA for an event. He was staying with some other devotees, but I very much wanted that he should just bless the house. So he came for about half an hour. And we were standing in the house, and I said to him, I said, Swamiji, why is it? Why do I feel God so strongly in Rishikesh? And so not so strongly at all here in LA in the living room of my parents' house? And that was when he told me, okay, God is everywhere, but Ganga is Ganga. And what I understood then is actually the exact same that I understand now, which is I've got a lot more information about Ganga, but the anubhav, that experience of Ganga as the power of transformation, that power of divine connection, that is the same. Now, I as a human being on a spiritual path, have more capacity 24 years later, I think, to experience more. At the time, sort of whatever happened felt like I was blowing fuses left and right in my own psyche. Over the years, it's been able to be assimilated more. My sense of self has expanded to make room for more. But Ganga is still an anubhav. The stories are beautiful. The stories are inspiring. But that presence of Ganga as the transformer, as the healer, as the bringer of freedom, for me, Ganga flows, not only outside, but I literally feel Ganga flowing inside of me in a way where, you know, you would think it would be this very gentle, soothing, sort of motherly feeling. But in me, it actually is not that. My personal anubhav inside of Ganga flowing is this rushing river that is carrying with her all of that within me that is not in alignment with my spiritual path. It's like when Ganga first came onto earth, right? First when she came, before Shankar Bhagwan held her, when she first came down, she was this rushing, rambunctious, intractable river, sweeping away all of the priests and pujaris and everybody on her banks doing their pujas. That's when they prayed, ki jara kuch kar do, mar jayenge hum log, apni sari puja kharab hote ja rahe. She's flooding our yagnas. In the same way that she swept through all of those people, all of their banks, everything, that's actually the way that I feel her in me. I feel her in me as this flood of this divine river. That the moment some bit of ego or ignorance or attachment starts to get lodged inside me, I feel like Ganga comes in and just goes and washes it away. And it's not always fun. Sometimes when you go in the river, if the current is a little strong, lakta ki hamare paap bhi chale jayenge, hum bhi jayenge. And sometimes it feels like that. But it's this incredible experience of feeling washed by the mother. And I think about children all over the world, and there's something very universal about kids. They hate to be bathed, right? A young parent, get your kids naked. It's bath time. What do? They run all over the house, stark naked. No, 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 no. You can barely pick them up and throw them into the tub, into the shower, right? For young father nodding his head vigorously. Yes, yes, exactly. And it's amazing. It's not just India. It's not just America. It's something universal with kids everywhere. Now, you would think, ye to ajeeb baat hai, saare din bahar khel rahe the, bahut gande ho gaya, kapde bhi gande, haath gande, face gande. Everything is dirty. In the mud, in the dirt. You would think they would be so happy. Ki wow, these amazing parents. Happy to just rub away my dirt. But no, they kick and they scream. They want to hold on to that dirt. And it's so interesting because as adults, we learn to like to bathe our bodies. No problem getting in the shower every morning. But we still like to hold on to that inner dirt. And we become very much like those children. No, no, I want my ignorance. I want my ego. I want my attachments. I want my false identities. And then Ganga comes in like that mother and just sweeps you up. She doesn't even have to throw you in the bath. She is the bath. Apni aap bath hai. So she comes in and flows and it clears you. So I just actually was saying before the aarti how I've been in America now. I just got back about 10 days ago. I've been in America for the last many months, longer than I've been there in 25 years. And coming back was such an incredible blessing. And even though my ability to experience God everywhere has increased incredibly, I now, by God's grace, have the ability to feel God regardless of what city I'm in, what country I'm in. And yet, Ganga is still Ganga. And coming back to Ganga is so powerful and so special and so entirely different as an experience of God than the experience that I have anywhere else in the world.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
Beautiful. So mantras and the impact if you just listen when you don't necessarily know all of the words, and the impact when you speak it. So the Sanskrit mantras, there's actually an entire science in the Vedas of sound, the science of sound. There's a whole scripture called the Samveda, which is literally the science of sound. So a mantra has many components. It has the meaning that touches our hearts. It has the power. When you get a mantra given by a guru, which is how many of us receive our mantras, is we actually are in the presence of our guru who chooses the right mantra for us and gives it to us. When that mantra is given by the guru, in addition to the power of the mantra itself, it also comes with the power from the guru. Excuse me. It comes with the power of the guru's shakti, the guru's sadhana. The mantra also has the actual power of its sound. Now, just listening is beautiful. When you sit on the banks of Ganga and all of the beautiful mantras are being chanted. For those of us, when you don't understand all the words, it's actually in a way more powerful in some way, because then the intellectual brain doesn't even get involved. When you're processing it as language, someone saying something, then it processes through the language center of the brain. When you actually don't understand it, there's a very beautiful component to that, because it doesn't get processed as language. It just gets processed as sound. And it goes within and literally transforms you alchemically. Like you were a crucible, a science crucible. And this magic energy gets poured into it. And it's said very clearly that the power of mantra, listening to it, if you listen with your heart, which of course is possible even if you understand the words anyway, but to listen with the heart, it actually will transform you. You know, we, from the West, we understand very little about the science of sound. But we see it every day. So for example, people have, you know, whistles, right? Now, if somebody blows a whistle and it's this very high-pitched sound, you feel it in the body. You go to a rock concert and you sit too close to the speakers and you don't just hear the volume, but the bass, the feeling of the bass, the vibration of the bass, right? You feel it. Your whole body kind of is vibrating. You feel it. If you blow a whistle at a certain frequency, it actually can crack a glass across the room. Yeah. Ask your science teacher. The frequency of the sound is actually enough when it's a high enough frequency that it can shatter glass. So we understand that. We also just in our daily life, right? When someone's yelling, you feel it. Even if you don't necessarily understand the words they're saying, imagine somebody starts to scream at you in a foreign language. Well, you don't understand what they're saying, but you know, you feel it. Your stress response goes up. Your pulse is up. You're sweating. And if someone starts to love you in a foreign language, again, you may not understand what they're saying, but your heart just melts, right? I mean, you feel it. So even with our culture that doesn't have this subtle science of sound, still we experience it every day. And then in the Vedic tradition, they've actually mastered the sound and the way it impacts us. So I would say two things. Number one, when you are sitting in a place where stotras are going, mantras are going, you don't know all the words, don't worry. Just allow them to impact you and to transform you. But if you have mantras that you know the words to, chant them. Absolutely chant them. Because when you're chanting it inside, it creates a whole different change. When we're given a guru mantra, it's actually said that we should be speaking the mantra, even though we're not speaking it out loud, we're speaking it silently to ourselves, but that we are speaking the mantra, we are hearing the mantra, we are seeing the mantra, and tasting the mantra. It's actually said that that's what you should experience when you are chanting your mantra. It literally becomes your entire experience. So chant it and allow your entire being, the physical being, the energetic being, to be transformed by it. Beautiful.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
The dilemma is in our perception. We begin with the awareness, because of course this is the age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good people? You've asked, why do they die early? Why do they get left? So this implies that death is bad, life is good. Long life is good, death is bad. Sickness is bad, health is good. Wealth is good, poverty is bad. Success success is good, failure is bad. So when we see bad people, dishonest people, adharmic people, getting success, getting wealth, living long, being healthy, we think, my God. And then, as you say, we see good people who are dying early or getting sick or, you know, getting left or other ways of seeming failure or loss. The dilemma is in this perception of good and bad. Meaning, the purpose of our life, the human incarnation manual, does not say goals and objectives. Live as long as you can. Acquire as much money as you can. Make sure you never get sick. Make sure no one ever leaves you. Make sure you reach the absolute highest of your possession. This is not the aims and objectives of a human incarnation. The aims and objectives are: realize your inherent divinity. Live as an instrument of the divine here on earth. Empty from you all of that that keeps you separate from that experience of God, that connection to God, the ego, the attachments, the expectations, the ignorance, the false identities. Live every moment in full consciousness and awareness of your connection to everything. Live with compassion, live with ahimsa, satya, asteya, apigraha. So if I've committed to non-stealing, non-hoarding, truthfulness, non-violence in word, in deed, in thought, in speech, well, sadly, in today's business days, it's a little hard to get ahead with all of that. Not impossible. Not impossible. It's not that there aren't beautiful dharmic business people. There are. But they are by the exception rather than the rule. But that's not the goal in any case. We were never sent here onto earth with the instruction, make sure to become a really successful business person. Make sure to squeeze out as many days as you possibly can in a life. Instead, we were told, squeeze as much life out of every day as you can. Not how many days in the life, but how much life in the days. And how much of that life can be spent in service to others, as that instrument, as that channel. That's the instruction we were given. How aware can you become? How awake can you become? How free can you become of your ignorance, of your ego, of your false identities, of your desires, of your temptations? That's the instruction we were given here. So, leaving the planet at an early age is not the unequivocal tragedy that it may seem to be. Living to be very old and dying angry, greedy, full of ego, full of grudges, that's the tragedy. Remember also that we've all come here with a karmic package that we're here to fulfill, right? I mean, that's the whole reason that we've taken this birth, is to fulfill our karmic package. Now, for some of us, that karmic package is best fulfilled in wealth, in success, at the head of a company. For some, it's better fulfilled in poverty. It's all about taking that next step. Now, That doesn't mean, of course, that we who have greater resources aren't supposed to help them. We are. It may be their karmic package to be here as poor, but it is part of our dharma to help them. We're here until we fulfill what we took this birth for. And if we don't fulfill it, we come back. We keep doing it until we can fulfill it, till we learn what we're here to learn. Some people get there very quickly. Some people come into this incarnation with only a little bit left, little bit of karmic baggage left to work out. And for some, it's over in 5 years, 15 years, 25 years. And so they leave. Not because it was some horrible thing that happened, not because God got it wrong, but because their karmic package was done. They'd fulfilled what they came here for. So it's more of a memo to us of remember what you're here for. Remember what the point and the purpose is, rather than the memo to God of you're giving the wrong message. There's a beautiful story of a saint who had this touch where by her kiss, she could kiss away disease. And every day lepers would come to her. And she would literally kiss their wounds and cure them of leprosy. But she would always leave one wound left and send them back with one wound left. And one day one of her disciples asked her, "Ma, you've got this great ability, this grace, this blessing to be able to kiss away all of this disease. But you always leave one wound. Why do you do that?" And she said, "Because that one wound keeps them calling out to God. And so this suffering that you're talking about, the why do bad things, why does suffering happen to good people? That suffering is what keeps us calling out to God. At the end of the Mahabharata, right? Bhagwan Krishna says to Kunti, essentially, you've been through so much. I'm so sorry for everything you've been through. And in the midst of all of what you've been through, you have stayed this embodiment of dharma, of shraddha. Ask any boon. Let me give you something. You've lost so much. You've suffered so much. Ask me any boon." And what did Kunti ask? "Let me keep suffering. Birth after birth, let me suffer." And Bhagwan Krishna was like, "No, let me ease your suffering. You've already suffered. Why do you want to suffer more?" She said, "Because I noticed that when everything's going very well, you are far away. But in my times of the greatest suffering, you are right there with me. And the greatest treasure, the most important, precious thing in my life is you. So grant me suffering so that I may always have you very close to me." So, and I would bet that if you asked these people, these deeply good people, how much they were suffering, we look at them and say, "Oh my God, that is really suffering." But if, in addition to being good, if they are also deeply spiritually connected, what you're going to find is that they are seeing these losses as actually an opportunity to go deeper on their spiritual path. They're seeing it as an opportunity to get closer. And that's where we get these losses, tragedies. They keep happening. They happen to all of us. We just tend to notice them more when they happen to really good people. But the question is always, what can I learn from this? What is this situation here to teach me? Spiritually, about myself. And then we go into that beautiful direction.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And when you lose, you know, whether somebody leaves you because they die, whether they leave you in divorce or whatever it may be, it gives an opportunity to actually experience the love within yourself. Because that love is within you. You may identify it with them. They may have catalyzed your internal love manufacturing plant. But ultimately, that's inside you. And the way that you know that is that when they get in the car and they go to Delhi, you still feel love. They could be 300, 3,000 miles away, but you still feel the love. Doesn't exist in them. If I've got an air conditioner that's giving me cool air, the closer I am to it, the more cool air I get. The farther away I am, the less cool air. Put me 3 kilometers away, I don't get any cool air. Because it's coming from the AC. If the love were actually from them, their physical presence, the farther you got from them, the less love you would feel. But you don't. Because that love is actually inside you. And you have this opportunity to experience it in a whole other level. Can you feel that love even when they're no longer there? And that's actually a much greater teaching than just never being left. And it takes you to a much greater state of fullness and wholeness and awareness than just the attachment of don't ever leave me. Because ultimately everyone leaves us. Whether they die, whether they leave us while they're still living, whether we die. I mean, eventually in any relationship, we get separated. If you die first, you've lost them. They die first, you've lost them. The ultimate end of every relationship is you lose each other. So the point is not how can I make sure never to be lost or left, but rather how can I remember that that source of love is within me? And that what I was loving in them was the divine presence. I'm having this beautiful personal experience with my mom. She had a very, very bad stroke 7 months ago in March, and lost almost all of her cognitive abilities. She's still in her body, but she doesn't have any idea who she is, who anybody is, where she is, what's happening, anything. And it's the most amazing experience because it gives us this opportunity to be simply in love with no role, no story, no relationship, no identity, nothing coming back, but simply to be in that presence of a love that exists independent of that person's physical body, their personality, their awareness, whether they say they love you or they know they love you or they feel like they love you, to just be able to sit in the presence of your love with no expectation. No expectation at all. We went through a phase, now she can't speak almost at all, but in the beginning, she was speaking a lot, but she had become completely psychotic. So she didn't have any idea what was happening. Screaming, yelling, swearing. You would say, I love you. And she would start to swear at you, scream at you. Now, on the one hand, people would say, oh my God, you to bold mother body holiday. And it was. And yet, from a spiritual perspective, being able to sit in the presence of your love, even when the person you love, first of all, is no longer there in any way of the being who you had loved, or is swearing at you, yelling at you, telling you, you know, all kinds of horrible things, or is totally unaware. It's actually an incredible spiritual experience. Is it a tragedy? Absolutely. If I had a magic wand, would I magic wand her back to health? Absolutely. But we don't. What we have is the opportunity, the magic wand we have, is how can we grow on a deep spiritual level from these experiences? And that's what they offer us.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation.
What should we be thinking when we are in the presence of a god or goddess in the temple? Beautiful. Well, there's no one right answer to this. There's a lot of wrong answers, meaning you shouldn't be making a shopping list. Pooja Swamiji always says that we isht ke paas list leke jaate hain. That we go to sit in front of God in the temple, but we go with our shopping lists. Give me this, give me that, do this, I want that. So, when we are in the temple, or the church, or the mosque, or the gurdwara, or the synagogue, or wherever we pray, wherever we are in the presence of the divine, ideally we are thinking of nothing. ideally the mind is as still and quiet as possible so that that divine presence and that divine voice can actually flow through and be with us. As quiet as the mind can be is the ideal. But sometimes our mind isn't able to be quite that quiet. So what do we think about? Well, there's a lot of good options. First of all, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you is a beautiful way to be with the divine. Thank you. Thank you, God, for this life. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to be this beautiful, beautiful instrument of you here on earth. Another beautiful thing to think about is, I love you. I love you, God. I love you. Not because I want you to do something for me, not because I'm buttering you up, but just, I love you. Maybe I love you in the form, a certain form. Maybe I just love you formlessly, but I love you. Another beautiful thing to think about is surrender. God, please, show me the way. Show me the way to be able to live this life in the fullest, highest, deepest, truest way, so that every minute and every moment becomes prayer. Let me live in love as love, in truth as truth. Let me never get distracted. Doesn't mean I can't have a good time. By all means, have a good time. But even while I'm having a good time, may I never be distracted from you. In fact, may being connected to you make me have an even better time. You love the sunsets even more. You love the stars even more. You love your loved ones even more. Because you see in the loved ones the presence of the divine. So that's another beautiful thing to think about. Another one lastly would be, this is one of my personal favorites, is, oh God, empty me. Just empty me. Empty me of all of that that is blocking me from being this channel for your presence here on earth. Empty me of the ego. Empty me of identities. Empty me of the games of my mind. Empty me of desires, of expectations. Just empty me. So those are four different things to think about. I'm sure there's many others, but just don't make shopping lists. Don't think about what you're going to cook for dinner tonight. Don't think about who you're angry at. Don't go to God with petty complaints. But in the presence of God, realize that all of those petty complaints mean nothing.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.